morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for this Friday, the 5th day of February 2021. I am David Ellis with you until 2 o'clock today, and my technical operator and producer today is Dennis Johnson. I wish you a really good morning, and I certainly hope that you will have a good day. There are some of you who can definitely look forward to that. There are others who, based on what is happening in the country at the moment, are going through what may be seen as testing times. There are a couple of things that I've noticed online. Of course, the racist rant that everybody has talked about has caught our attention. And those of you who are querying, you know, so, you know, what might have inspired that kind of behavior, for me, it's not difficult. I told you all already that there are some people in this country who have admired Donald Trump. And that's the kind of behavior that he has inspired among some in this country. But we must be careful not to overreact. We must also bear in mind that not everybody who is red or white in Barbados shares that kind of opinion. There may be some, I hope that there are, but a tiny minority. We must go on and fight the good fight and try to see to what extent we can reach out across all lines, class lines, racial lines, to fight the fight against COVID to begin with, and then to look at economic rebuilding. And we certainly want to cooperate with government and people in the private sector as well in trying to achieve those objectives. Something else that caught my attention was the two boys throwing stones into the windscreen of a transport board bus, one of the new ones. That's sickening. Really, really sickening. I mean, for all the money that this country has had to put into something like that, to have young people take that kind of action. I mean, I certainly hope that there's some way that the people who are connected with them should be asked to repair that bus. Just taking them to court and giving them a fine or some term of imprisonment to me is inadequate. It is really outrageous to see that kind of behavior from people who rely upon the very bus to move from place to place. But those are my opening thoughts. What are yours? Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, ma'am.
Hi, Ms. Ellis. I just want to say, firstly, I agree with your opening remarks, and I have one concern this morning. And first, I want to congratulate the government as well for the job that they are doing and to encourage Barbadians and visitors alike to cooperate with the protocols. However, my concern this morning is regarding the testing that is being done in terms of maybe someone in authority to explain a bit more, because I've heard firsthand of some experiences where, for example, a person did a test because they were informed of, you know, persons being tested in the workplace positive. Immediately did the test, isolated for a week. They were called with the results 1 week after to say that they are tested positive. The following day, transported to Harrison's Point, spent 3 days in that facility, released, no symptoms were shown while at the facility. However, 3 weeks thereafter, got an email saying that you are negative. Mind you, a second test was never done. No contact tracing of related persons within the household. And I've heard this kind of instance from more than one person. And I would like to know if there can be some kind of clarity in terms of these testing, because that may be considered, I don't know if the term is false positive, but bearing in mind that an individual or individuals who would have experienced that situation would have stayed home, lost pay. Some persons within the household would have informed their workplaces that they were in contact with a positive test case, also stayed home and lost pay. I know of a case where the business also closed his business, placed his family through the testing, to then find out subsequently that the test was negative. So I think that something may be going wrong, I'm not sure, but there have to be some kind of clarity in terms of what is happening in that regard.
Yes, I think this is where the real challenge lies. If you're in a sensitive position in government and you discern that the integrity of the testing has been compromised, what choices do you believe you might have if you were in a similar position? If, as you are suggesting, people are getting false negatives and false positives, then what do you see as the dilemma facing the person or persons in charge of this whole exercise?
Definitely, it will be a catastrophe to come out boldly to say that it has been compromised, because then obviously persons in society would lose some degree of trust in terms of the testing. I don't have the first-hand solution as to what they should do, but I'm just saying that when cases like that occur, think of the inconveniences that are happening to families, and, you know, the stigma in some cases that persons are placed under, then to find out thereafter that the result indeed was negative. So I don't know. There has to be some balance between when, for instance, the polyclinic has called you to inform you that the test is positive, you're transported to the facility, and then subsequently you're getting the result to say it's negative. So I'm just thinking that it is a serious matter, in my view, that need some kind of addressing or something.
So you believe that essentially they should work behind the scenes to try to address it rather than to come out boldly and say, look, we have a problem here?
I think it should be investigated. Like I said, I've heard it firsthand from more than one person. I've heard it from a small business owner. I've heard it from individuals who would have all gone at the same time. Mind you, the establishment they work in was also publicized as being closed. So I'm just saying initially some form of investigation needs to be had to inquire for sure the, you know, this is true. Is this been happening? There must be persons who can be made accountable to give explanations to the authorities if they are unaware that this is happening.
Well, I think that the core of this comes right back to what government has already admitted, that we have had a problem with the testing, we've had the backlogs and all of that, we've had tired people working in the system, we've had perhaps other issues that we have not been told about. But let's be basic in all of this. If your system has run into trouble with the backlog of results, then it is logical to expect that there could be issues of the type that you have heard. And therefore, as in so many instances, the authorities seem caught between a rock and a hard place. More importantly, though, what is required now is for them to say to us exactly how much progress has been made in trying to correct the problems with the testing overall, and how far are we away from what we would see as a solution to this particular problem. All right, I mean,
there's certain things we can't
duck and hide from, and
true,
that's our reality. Yeah. Well, thanks for raising the matter with us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Morning.
Morning. I have a question for you before I get away. I have to say, if I deliberately and knowingly throw you into a 50-foot well and then send down a 10-foot rope to pull you out, do I deserve to be praised for trying to help you? I use the word deliberately and knowingly throw you into the battle. Do I deserve to be praised for trying to help you know?
Well, you see, in those circumstances, you're going to have to, first of all, look at the motivation. First of all, what caused you to throw me in the well in the first place? And having thrown me in the well, how long after you threw me in the well did you decide that you were going to send me a piece of rope? And was that piece of rope the only piece of rope, the longest piece of rope that you had? So to answer a question like that, I need more. I can't just answer the question in isolation of all those other factors.
You know exactly where I'm going. I
know where you're going. Wherever you're going, wherever you are going, I believe the same principles apply. You have to understand motivation. If a person decides that they're going to throw you into a well, they will only come back to you or try to save your life if they believe they've made a mistake. If somebody lied on you, if for whatever reason they have had second thoughts about throwing you in that well and want to save your life, but by the time they get to you, the rope is too short. The motivation is still to save your life.
Yeah, but you know the rope is too short. It's when the well is 30 foot deep. And the rope is 10 foot. You know that the rope is too short. It's just to me.
We'll be hoping for a miracle.
You know, I can leave that there because I go stop. I go call it and interpret it. So I can left it hanging there. Now, there was a time, as you would know, and Daniel Johnson would know, that I used to support the Democratic Labor Party. I was not at the stage that the fat man is at, but I was almost there. I remember one day, Dennis,
would you allow us to be the judge of that?
Well, I think it's difficult
for you to be your own judge on that score, you know.
Okay. There was a day that Dennis was supposed to be program, and I became very critical of the late going after. And Dennis let me rant and rave. And the end of it all, these were his words to me. He never did anything good. And immediately, not the next thing that Dennis was supposed to be programmed, immediately, I spoke about the good things that Mr. Arthur did. What I am saying is, I was so bitter against Mr. Arthur, I allowed certain things to overcome me.
Is that happening now? With the Labour Party?
No. Listen. There was a time during that time that I was supporting the Democratic Labour Party that I voted for someone who represented the
Mr. P, you're deeply personal today, but obviously, you are trying to reach a particular point. So, what is that point?
Yeah, I can reach that. I would like to start when somebody can come on radio or anywhere and say that the Labour Party do anything for Barbados. I think that person should really sit down and reflect. I want to know who the person is, but that person should sit down and reflect. As I did. The next thing, I am a scientist and a doctor, but I grew up among all people that survive and they survive by eating the right things. As far as my knowledge is concerned, more sicknesses attack your immune system. Aren't they all? And I don't know which one. But if you have a part of you that's being attacked, whether it's the immune system or whatever, what you should try to do is boost or cover, right? Whatever is being attacked.
You get a good run today.
All right.
All right, sir. Yes, same to you. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, good morning, Miss Alice.
Hello.
Morning. Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Ms. Addis. A couple of things there. This survey that is being carried out by the students at UWI, you know, it makes me laugh. Because, one, you do not have to answer the questions the students will ask you. And two, when you look at it, and you, let's say that you came to a household that have 10 people living there, and you are to speak on behalf of everybody in that household, if you miss somebody in that household is not feeling well, you are not going to tell the people or the people that were going to do the interview, he told the truth about that what's happening within your household. I want to ask the gentleman at UWI, this survey is going to be, I don't think, what he's looking forward to, there's going to be a lot of inaccuracies in this survey. And three, especially, why would you need to carry out a survey in a pandemic time and asking people to go around from house to house to find out how many people they're sick and how many people they have a certain thing, knowing fully well that people are afraid of what is going on in the country right now. And even so, they're not going to come out and speak the truth.
Before you go on, let me say to you that you are entitled to your view and your projections. But let me say that your view is not the only view in this country. There are other people in Barbados who believe that it is a positive thing that the government is doing and that the University of the West Indies is involved in to do this kind of outreach, because there are a lot of people in Barbados who sometimes they're sick and they're in denial. They are afraid. And that kind of outreach may help some, it may not help all, but if it can help some, why cry it down? While you talk about those who are going to be reluctant, you cannot tell me that a majority of Barbadians fall into that category. We agree with me that it's not necessarily a majority who will do that.
I am going to
operate on this basis, that in general terms, Barbadians have shown themselves to be compliant. They look after the country in general, and I've seen that from the first lockdown. You see it all like no. And therefore, I am not going to join you in pouring cold water on this idea and trying to discourage people from cooperating with it. It's irresponsible.
That is not so, because you have the option either to ask the questions or not. And I hear the gentleman.
And therefore, while that is true, I do not expect that a majority of Barbadians are going to say no to that, because they understand what it means. I mean, if you've got somebody, I mean, the follow-up issues remain crucial, because once you have identified and isolated these people as needing attention, then the healthcare system has to be able to move in and assist those people in a timely manner. So, I mean, it is one thing to do the survey, but you expect that you will have to have the follow-up. But the survey itself is not something for us to get out here and discourage.
I am not discouraged, but you have to look at reality. Because if you're going in those poor areas, I doubt very much you're going to get accurate information that you're looking for.
I'm going to accept your view on it, but let me ask you this question. You are looking at what you see as the possible reaction. From your position down there in society, what advice would you give to the rest of this community in how we should respond to this particular exercise, therefore? Let's not deal with what you believe might happen. Let us talk about what you would recommend should happen.
I said on more than one occasion that it should not have come at this time. You're asking people to go from house to house. And for less than that, I heard the surgeon say that you should put on two masks and the shield. And I was made to understand that some of these students have only one mask and not a shield. So you are asking people to come from house to house. God knows which house they went at. They come around, you come up on the step and you talk to them. But you don't know what's going to happen there. So people, some people are going to be skeptical even to talk to them alone. So all I'm telling you is that...
This is what free speech produces.
No. This is reality.
This is a consequence of what is called free speech. You understand no way people in China are blocked from talking in state media, why people are blocked on Facebook in Korea, North Korea, and those places. Because free speech like this has the potential to send the wrong message in circumstances where we really need to cooperate, work together in a pandemic. I don't think that this is something that I can support, and I tell you so out front. That's not the way we should see this. We should recognize what the weaknesses are, yes, but at the same time, I mean, to say that it should not come in a pandemic, the whole reason why it is being done is because there is a pandemic. If there was no pandemic, we wouldn't need to do it. And you have no alternative posture, no alternative position to put to the public of Barbados. It is just a question of trying to pull it down and tear it apart. I don't agree with that. Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you doing?
I'm okay, sir.
Yeah, my reason for calling is a couple of weeks back, I had a discussion with really an announcer or a DJ. And I asked them, we only can't change the music so we can get a variety of different music instead of the same. They told me every station, every radio station in Barbados is playing the same thing. I was privileged to be sitting down and listening to a particular station on Monday. Then I listened to it Tuesday. I listened to it Wednesday. That is not the same music that the rest of the radio stations playing. I honestly, to God, I would like, I don't know if the person is a DJ or they're this person initials, but I would like that person to train some of the young announcers how to play music. They got older folks in the community that don't want to hear the same thing all the time. They want to hear something proper that you can sit down and enjoy.
What do you call something proper? What is something proper?
Peter Satir. I can call some names that DJ played.
So you think that basically what is happening in some instances is that the repertoire of music is too narrow?
They're playing a lot of Drifters all the time. They're playing a lot of Tom. They're playing a lot of Charlie Brown.
Alright, I take your point. I hope that they're listening to what you're saying. And essentially what you're asking for is a wider range of music in that particular genre. You're not essentially saying that you need to change the genre, but you need to widen the base of the music that they're playing. So thanks for the feedback.
Before you go, what the person was telling me is that the music in the system. So I want of DJs or announcers can't bring their own music.
Look, let me be upfront with you and let you know this, that if in the eyes of the announcers, the mix of music in the system is too limited, they are in a position to advance ideas and make suggestions for improving it. In not only this station, but any other. So I don't think that, and the very fact that you're saying that you can hear a wider range of music in a similar genre suggests that it is there. So I appreciate what you're saying. I understand. But a lot of that, you know, over the years has largely been influenced too by the personalities of individuals who come to play music on the radio stations. People tend to believe that, you know, the biggest challenge over all this time has been in this region, trying to make sure that a radio station's particular style and image is maintained and is not altered depending upon which announcer is on the air. So that when you turn on the radio, you say, immediately when you hear a certain music, you say, well, I know that station. That's the station that I'm accustomed listening to. When you listen to two or three of them, you're sure in your mind that that's the station that you normally listen to. Not because the plane Charlie Pride all the time, though. All right, or Brooke Benton.